This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Bruce Levine is, of course, the Score's baseball expert. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. I haven't been by the United Center lately, so I don't know if Manny Machado's name is also up on the LED board. But nonetheless, that rumor, that story, that information just won't go away, how the White Sox will be pursuing a free agent here of the ilk of a Machado, a Harper, and they are hell-bent on making that team a better team, a team of the future. And if it's signing a 26-year-old to a very long-term, very high-paying contract, they want to do it.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because obviously the report is out there that they're trying to move Avi Garcia, and you know, that's fine. I just don't know that they have many professional players, and I do consider Avi to be a professional ball player. What's your take on this? What does it mean that they're trying to move him? Are they clearing a path for Bryce Harper? Is it really more about Aloy moving there? They're not going to go into next year with the same outfield they had. Please tell me that's not the case.
No, I mean, the depth in their organization is in the outfield right now. So you have Luis Robert, who was just named the AFL's hitter of the week in the Arizona Fall League. You have Basabe, who came in the Boston trade, who is a center fielder who is looking good. Then, of course, you have to clear away for the second week of the season for Jimenez. He's going to be out there. You have Rutherford, who was with the Yankees and a high draft pick. You have your strength.
He's a confidant of Yelich, right? Didn't he grow up with Yelich's brother, and he talks to Yelich on a weekly basis?
Yeah.
I hope Yelich tells him, "Hey, here's what to do. Here's how you become an MVP."
Yeah, exactly. So guys, the depth is in the outfield, and to be honest, they tried to trade Garcia last year, and they didn't have any takers at that point. And that was surprising because he was coming off of a 330 season with 80 RBIs and 18 homers. The 18 homers kind of threw people off with 550 at-bats. That wasn't enough. But, you know, interesting enough, this year he was injured quite a bit and kind of had a down season, but his home run ratio was way up. So, you know, somebody can get a very solid outfielder from the White Sox, but you know, they do not want to pay the $8 million that it's going to cost in his last year of arbitration. That's where his number is going to fall in, and they think they have better options. Certainly, Jimenez is one of them.
Can you let him go for nothing, Bruce? I mean, is that an indictment on Rick Hahn not being able to pull the trigger and get something in return for a team that needs, you know, a little bit of everything? And then what did you make of yesterday's Jose Abreu saying you wanted to be part of the Sox for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, well, first with Garcia, David, are they better off taking that $8 million and putting it elsewhere? I think that's the question you ask. You know, they're not going to put it in their pocket. They're going to put it toward another veteran player that fits in or a younger veteran. I mean, Garcia's only 27 years old. He seems like he's been around for a million years, but he's still a very young player. Injury-plagued season last year, not a great outfielder, showing better power. He had the 330 behind him. So I think moving him is what they would like to do. Releasing him and considering using that $8 million elsewhere is something else that they have to consider, and whether the money is better spent elsewhere. Now, with Abreu, That's a common theme. I mean, I think he wants to be there forever as well. They love him. The front office loves him. The staff loves him. He brings an awful lot to the party off the field as far as being a dedicated player, a prime example for their young people. Ultimately, though, you have to try to figure out how much he's going to bring to you back on the field. He had a down year, even though he won a Silver Slugger for the White Sox last year. He had some injuries that he had to deal with at the end of the year. How many years do you put in Jose Abreu at age 32 going on 33? That's the question. And he's a part of your rebuild as an important player who's driving in runs and helping you win, or is he more of a guy that is helping the staff and helping the young players assimilate into the major leagues? So these are the questions they have to ask themselves. I do know they love the guy. An extension to me would make sense. A 5 or 7 year extension would not.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce, because I think if you look at what Fangraphs had yesterday, they broke down the value of all these minor league systems, and the White Sox, they determined that if they were to release everybody right now, that they would those contracts would add up to $369 million. Among the top players in their organization, and they rated them the third best farm system. And that's really an unbelievable amount of money. I know it sounds cheap in baseball terms, but for minor leaguers to get those sort of contracts would be pretty incredible. And I think they had a rating of 65 on Aloy, meaning that he's right, likely to be a future all-star. And that's all great, and I think everybody's excited at the prospect of that. But $369 million, wouldn't that get you Bryce Harper? Don't you have to pay that kind of money if you really were interested? So I guess what I'm trying to juggle here, Bruce, is the rumors where the White Sox are in on everyone and the reality that their payroll is what? Second lowest in the league.
Well, the reality of the low payroll is a good thing, because that means
willing to give Avi $8 million. Do you know what I'm saying?
So it's, but is Avi a difference maker like the other guys you're talking about?
No, but he would be, he's a better player than a lot of the guys that we're talking about plugging in for a year or two.
Right, but they're not interested in just an average player. They're looking for great players to go along with their rebuild, and they all can't be great. We know that. You have to have really good players as well to go in, but you know, the timing.
But my fear is they're going on the cheap. That, you see what I'm saying?
No, I just don't see that happening.
Okay.
I think that they're going to be spending the money on what they consider to be the right players. The strength of the White Sox going into the end of next season, maybe toward June or July, should be the starting pitching. And I say that knowing that Dylan Cease, according to everybody that I've talked to, and a lot of scouts that I trust, known for years, think that he's the best pitcher in the minor leagues last year. And that being the case, a young pitcher to help lead the staff, I would be shocked if the White Sox don't come out of this winter meetings with a top-flight veteran starting pitcher to go along with the rest of their pitching. They believe that the quickest way possibly to being a contender again is having dominant pitching. And they're going to put a lot of their resources toward pitching this offseason. Bullpen help to make sure that when those starting pitchers go out there, they don't come away with nothing after a good start. A veteran pitcher to help lead the staff, kind of like John Lester was with the Chicago Cubs when he came in and changed things around. Maybe not of the ilk of Lester, but you know, a Jay Happ, somebody that's been in the playoffs, been in competitions, known as a top person in a clubhouse. That's the type of guy you're going to see come in. And then you're going to see the position players starting to move around as well. There's a likelihood of Mancada moving to third base. We've heard those rumors since the end of last season. It hasn't been dispelled by the White Sox going forward this offseason. And then, they're hoping that, you know, some of their young players move fast, and Jimenez is certainly the centerpiece of all that.
Bruce, I know you like a good debate, so I'm going to ask you about your Manager of the Year ballot, because Brian Snitker from the Braves won it. He received 17 of 30 first-place votes. Craig Counsell was second, and you voted for Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon received one first-place vote, and it was yours.
That's right. It was a very smart vote, whoever that was.
I applaud the fact that you went on 670 The Score and defended it.
I don't think there's much to defend, David, honestly, and I'm happy to debate it.
How would you put him?
The guy arguably had the best season of his career, with losing 40% of his starting pitching staff. You get Darvish and Chatwood, you get 5 wins, okay? There was $170 million invested there. You get your closer to July 15th, and he's done for the year. You get 13 homers and 50 RBIs and missing 60 games out of Chris Bryant. You have the debacle with Addison Russell where you get nothing out of him for the whole season. You have bullpen guys that brought in and out all year long by the front office, and they did a good job of bringing guys in. But people you never heard of were closing games and winning games for the Cubs, and they won 95 games, three more games than they did last year.
But just one question. If he's the manager of the year, then why don't his overlords, his bosses, want to extend him?
That's their opinion. I don't know why they don't like him. I mean, why wouldn't you like a guy that's taking you to the playoffs 4 years in a row? Why wouldn't you like a guy where you've had a clubhouse for 4 years and outside of personal issues with Russell, you've had no problems. You have no players that have balked at anything that's gone on. I mean, to me, he did his best job this last season here, and that's why I voted him number one. Council had a great year, so did Snitker. I voted him second and third. But, you know, I just think that if you paid attention that Madden had a superior year, got the most out of a team that was loaded to win at the beginning of the year and then fell apart because of injuries. And every guy on that team hit less home runs except Javier Baez. They were held to one run or less more times than any team in baseball in the second half, and they still went into game 163 with the best record in baseball.
So well, I paid attention.
I had a vote on game 162. I didn't have to vote on game 163. The vote had to be in after that Sunday. To me, he was the manager of the year.
I think he had a good year. I did pay attention. I just felt like Craig Counsell did more with less.
Yeah, no, that's why I put him. I made him a second pick. You know, he did a great job. It's not to demean him or Snitker. I just think that to win 95 games and get 5 wins out of Darvish and Chatwood and no saves out of your closer after July 15th, he was my manager of the year.
All right, Bruce. Thanks, buddy. Great
good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. That's Bruce Levine, Scores baseball expert.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.